the benefit for me was built my self-confidence, just boosted my morale, sharing about it, reconnecting me with friends from elementary school on Facebook and whatnot. So it's just the fun element of it. It for sure, no matter what you're doing, it's just really a lot of fun. It just gives you confidence to keep going with what you're doing.
Welcome to the Imperfectly Empowered podcast with leading DIY lifestyle blogger, Anna Fulmer, where women are inspired with authentic stories and practical strategies to reclaim their hearts and homes by empowering transformation, one imperfect day at a time.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Imperfectly Empowered podcast. I'm your host, Anna Fulmer. Today, I am on the show with Kelly McMaster. From Orange City, Iowa to Laguna Beach, California, Kelly McMaster's life is as colorful as her eclectic flea market style. A single mom of two facing difficult losses, Kelly shares her unorthodox journey that led her to becoming the chief editor at one of the country's leading home decor magazines. Today, welcome with me the amazing Kelly McMaster. Hello. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. It's so fun to have you here. I apologize. I have a little bit of laryngitis right now, so I sound like prepubescent.
No, you
boy
don't.
Or a smoker. Any of
that. You're
going
to say like Kermit the Frog, but no, you sound good to me.
All of the above. Well, welcome. It has been so long since I've seen you. I know. Last saw you at the Haven Conference.
Right.
Which was, it feels like ages ago. I guess it was really only 7 months ago.
Yeah, July, right? So yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what day it is anymore.
I don't either.
Let alone.
I'm just like, how old am I? Where am I? What's going on?
How many children do I have? What is your name again?
Yeah. What do you want from me?
Exactly. Move on. For everyone listening and watching, Kelly, I heard her speak at the Haven Conference, and many of you have heard about the Haven Conference already. Karian has been on here. Kristen was on here, Kristen Stockdale. So people are kind of familiar with what it is, but for anyone new, it's a kind of the national home DIY decor conference for creators, bloggers, influencers. And Kelly was leading a session on how to get featured in a magazine, all of her tips and tricks as the chief editor at Cottages and Bungalows. And you started telling your story at one point during the session, and it was so sweet and it was so inspiring. And I was like, okay, we need to get her on the podcast because your story fits so perfectly. And I think the audience is really going to appreciate your perspective. One of the questions I love to ask is, I like to press the rewind button. We are so quick to highlight our successes in life, but it's a process and it's a journey. And what's maybe more empowering is to hear kind of where it started and how we got to where we are. When you look back at yourself as a little girl, would you guess that you'd be where you are today? Like, did you see personality traits in yourself growing up that you'd be like, oh, absolutely, I'd be like a major player in a home decor magazine?
No, but I mean, looking back now, it kind of makes sense. Like,
yeah.
Like looking back at all the things that I liked and what I spent my time doing and puttering around with that. Yeah. Like my mom was, I don't know if you remember the company Home Interiors and Gifts. It was
okay.
In-home party situation where my mom was a displayer and she would bring these big suitcases of stuff to these hostesses' homes all over southern Minnesota and show ladies how to do wall decor, groupings on the wall or vignettes on the table or all these things. And so my mom did that for 30 years and my mom kept a really clean, beautiful, attractive, you know, home. A different style than me, but still I just kind of learned watching her do things, you know, changing out decor for all the seasons and just having it be a large part of her life. And so I think you're just around that. You don't even really know anything different. And just as a little girl, I remember being in my room, cutting things out of magazines and gluing them into books, things that I liked, you know, the flowers and the puppies and the, you know, whatever's, and just assembling these little keepsake books and making my own little calendars with little markers for each month, like little pumpkins for October, and you know, just always doing things. And this is like second grade. and always like wanting my room to be fun and my mom letting me pick up my paint and my bedspreads and things like that. So I wasn't obsessed with it. But when I look back, I realized like, okay, I always had that interest as a kid. And, but you know what, honestly, growing up in Southern Minnesota, small town, little farm town, I didn't know about these careers. I didn't know that you could. I didn't know. And my mom loved magazines. I love magazines. I hoarded them as a kid. I would go to the children's library and gather up all, remember, like, you know, you're too young, but Ranger Ricks and all these little magazines. And I would sit and just pour through them. And I would write to the editors and ask for their autographs and stuff. I have this autograph collection of,
So cute.
These little weird little magazines. So yeah, looking back on it, it was in my, I think my genetics or something, but I didn't know. I didn't know that I could pursue those things. And so I went off on a whole entire different trail.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting point what you just made, that depending on where you've been raised or where you've grown up, I've heard this expressed before, you don't even realize certain opportunities are out there. It's like, it's just not even part of your framework in terms of what do you want to do one day. It's like, you don't even, and I think that's true now more than ever with all the virtual jobs that are possible. You know, I would have never guessed I'd end up doing what I'm doing. It's an interesting perspective though, depending on where you've been raised and your environment, you don't even know that certain things are possible.
No. And when you're living in a small city like that, the nearest thing to you is Minneapolis, you know, St. Paul area, which was great. But those types of careers, probably in those days, I'm almost 59. So this is a while ago, 40 years ago or more. That wasn't a big hub of media or something. So New York, like, well, that's where everything was. LA and New York, which seemed like just a foreign country or something. It just unattainable for a small town kid. So you look at professions like nursing. I tried being a candy striper, but dropped this poor man floor and decided that wasn't for me, you know? And so you end up gravitating towards more kind of your mainstay sort of traditional careers. And so I started going on that towards social work, and I got my bachelor's degree in social work, later getting a master's degree in psychology. And so that's where I was, but I always had this longing, and it kept getting worse. I say worse only because it was painful for me at the time, because I was always working jobs that I enjoyed. I was okay at, you know, I was doing things, but I always had this longing to be, use my creative juices, do something with this stuff that was in here. And, I would find other outlets, but I really wished I could somehow, like, who can I get to pay me to do something creative? And so I'm super fortunate it worked out. But yeah, and I think I would go to the career centers at my high school and college too. And I went to college in Iowa, at a very small college in Northwest Iowa, which, you know, I love. But again, those kind of careers weren't set before me. But I wasn't sane at that time either. I wanted to serve people. That was my thing. I wanted to be a helper. And so I wasn't asking someone like about journalism careers or what could I do with my writing. I was a good writer, but it wasn't where I was focused. I was focused on how do I give back? How do I serve? How can I be a good person, you know? And so those were the careers I was more steered towards.
I mean, on the flip side, what's crazy now is those types of service-based industries, it's like the need for balance there, because now it's like pulling teeth to get anyone in those service-based industries, partly because they're not treated well and they're not valued. And so it's interesting. I feel like we've swung really far now to the other side of things. So there's certainly, there's a need for people in all different avenues, but I think the important thing is finding that blend of what are you good at? What do you enjoy? And using those in order to serve somebody else. That's kind of
absolutely
being able to combine those two things, maybe not in the traditional sense that they used to be.
Hey, parents.
Yeah, you.
Are you looking for a podcast your kids will really love?
Well, we made one just for you.
And for us.
As genuine, all-natural kids ourselves, we know what makes a fun and interesting podcast.
So we decided to make it ourselves. Every show is packed with interviews, stories, and on-the-ground reporting.
We have interviewed everyone from scientists to Grammy Award-winning musicians to NFL quarterbacks.
Listen to Wild Interest wherever you get your podcasts.
Totally. And that's what you have to do, because if you're someone that has that heart to serve and do something for your fellow man, that'll eat you alive too if you're not utilizing that. And so to combine the two of them, your creativity with your wanting to serve, you can make anything that you're doing of service to someone else. You just have to make sure you remind yourself of that and think about that. Like, okay, how can I make this help someone else? How could I benefit someone else, lift someone else, help someone else shine? You can turn anything into that.
I love that.
Really, no matter what you're doing. So I went through a lot of struggle though, getting there, really just, a lot. I mean,
you had a lot of losses. Tell us a little bit about some of those challenges. I mean, you shared there were a lot of kind of pivot points. You had personal losses, you had relationship, pivots in the road as well.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about those challenges and how that kind of helped steer your journey.
Yeah. Very much so, because, as a young kid coming out of college, I had my social work degree and I wanted to do something with that. And as luck would have it, I was married very young at, 20 years old, in between sophomore and junior year of college, and started off on a journey of early motherhood too, just mom at 22. And then my husband at the time, had a job transfer, and there we were moving to LA. And so luckily I had an opportunity with a college friend. I had friends, thank goodness, that lived in California that took us under their wing. And one of them happened to be a director at an adoption agency. So she helped me get my first social work job. And I was a birth mom counselor to young moms, or sometimes older moms too, that just could not parent their baby. And so I would help them through that journey and helping them choose an adoptive couple and do all that kind of stuff. Well, then I went through my own divorce. And like you just mentioned, a lot of times social service jobs, they're not highly compensated. And so there I was with a one-year-old baby living in a suburb of LA, broke as heck, and I had to do something. And so luckily another friend said, hey, Kelly, come on over to this office supply company. You can sell, you can make commission, you can make good money. Okay. And I had sold sold Tupperware in college. That was a whole other fluky thing, but I ended up learning how to sell things, worked retail in high school, just always had a job some sort since age 16. Yeah. And so I'd been in, kind of sales. And so I thought, okay, well, they'll train me. I'll just go do it. And so they had some training and they gave you just an open territory and just said, cold call, go get business. And that's what I did. And we sold office products and furnishings and printing services and all kinds of stuff. So I just hustled. And, I just kind of found that people would say, well, how can you go from being an adoption counselor to selling stuff?
Yeah.
And then I was successful. Like all of a sudden I was like climbing the ranks and making good money. And I was on the leaderboard. And
isn't it heartbreaking though? Like, so we're adopting. So this really speaks to my heart. We're actually adopting our fourth,
oh my gosh,
internationally. Wonderful. But like, it breaks my heart that I think that speaks to what we were just talking about. Like service-based industries are not valued. It kills me that, not that there's anything wrong with sales, but just like our social worker has literally made our adoption happen. Like if I didn't have a social worker, we would not be able to adopt. And when you think about what that process is, it's like, what? Like, how can we pay these people so much more? I don't know what the answer is, but I hear your story and I just think like,
yeah, what a shame, huh? I know. And at the time, my employer, they were wonderful. They tried to give me a little raise, but back in those days, we're talking like 1988, yearly salary for a social worker was $15,000. Can you imagine trying to live on less than $1,000 a month in LA? So I love that. But here's what I did. Every time I was in my sales position and it started feeling like, this isn't very meaningful for me.
Yeah,
I had to put meaning into it. And so I would just always feel like, okay, I'll serve these clients. They have a need. I'll fill it. And that's how I got meaning out of it, by just being a social worker in a sales role. And that brought me a lot of success and a lot more money. And I was able to get on my feet and get situated. So after that, I stayed in that for a while, and then I went back to school at night. Then I got remarried, had another child, so I have two sons, and went to school at night at Pepperdine to get my master's in psych, because then I had my mind set on the fact that, okay, someday I want to be a psychologist, so I'll start working towards that. So I would work all day, and then I'd go to school at night, two nights a week from like 4 to 10.
So you're in LA, like this is, you're still outside in of LA at this,
yeah.
Which is tough in and of itself, from what I understand.
Well, yeah, this traffic alone will kill you. But
yes.
So I was living finally, though, in South Orange County, which is lovely and less congested, less traffic. And Pepperdine had an Orange County campus. So I could work my day, run there. And thank God for my husband. He was, at that time, he was a great father, great helper. He got the kids, got them dinner, did the thing so that I could get this degree. So I get this degree and there I am. And but then another wave of kind of personal disaster comes along, and I've always been so embarrassed to talk about this, but now, you know, so many years have gone by that I can talk about it, and especially because I'm friends with both of my ex-husbands and everybody's healthy and happy and good, but went through another divorce. And so I just could not go get my doctorate immediately after that. I had to work. I had to do my half of things, you know, pay for expensive housing there and all the things. So I continued to work in various sales jobs. That was the way I found that, okay, this is how I can best support myself as a single parent. I was a sales and marketing director at an assisted living place, which I loved working with seniors, sold multiple different things over the years, from Precious Moments figurines to cheerleading uniforms to raw materials to nutritional supplement manufacturers. I just did all kinds of stuff. And then finally, I was feeling that same urge again, like, okay, I'm just selling things and I really wish I could be more in a helping profession. And so I ended up landing this position that was a really great combination. I was a patient consultant for a hair transplant surgeon, a very, very well known, very successful surgeon in Orange County. In LA, New York, Vegas, he had offices all over, and they taught me the business. And I found in that role, and I went in and out of that different role for about 7-8 years. I was able to meet with these patients who were hurting and suffering over hair loss, you know, hear their story, you know, be compassionate, empathetic for that, help them find solutions, get them through the whole process, meet their wives, their kids, their, you know, whoever was involved with the patient. That felt nice. I was making good money. I was still selling things, but I was helping, directly helping. So did that for a long time. It's still always that creative urge. So what I did to fill that, people always will ask me this question too, like, well, what did you do to kind of prepare yourself? And I always say, nothing, you know, I just got lucky.
Yeah.
But when I think about it, I was doing stuff. So I started, I liked scrapbooking and card making, so I started a little online shop. And so I figured out how to do a website and a little store. And I was selling scrapbooking and paper making kits just from my home on nights and weekends. And at the same time, I had a little space at a consignment store that had various goods, you know, and little craft spaces and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So I was making stuff. I was gluing stuff and glitter, and it was all over the house. And I was making cards and, you know, anything I could stick something cute on, I was making it and selling it there. And just trying, you know, to fulfill this longing I had to use these creative juices, like you're right, that I had since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
And always loved home decor. So I was always buying home decor books and trying out a little idea here, there, everywhere. And all of that was going on. And then, but nothing, I felt like I was so scattered and stretched thin, you know, just, it's just hard. It's hard to work a full-time career.
Exactly.
And do these other things. And if you're not making a ton of money, sometimes you do have to like reevaluate and say, okay,
absolutely,
I haven't seen my friends in a month. I'm always piled high with glue and glitter. I can't even sit down. I have so much crap all over my place. And maybe I should probably be smarter about this and figure something else out. I don't know. You know, so I slowly out of necessity had to abandon some things, you know, which kind of broke my heart, but I was focusing on my career and just getting my boys raised and moving on. So, but cutting to the chase kind of with how I got where I am now, which was just a huge stroke of good fortune. I had been through just a really hard time. My mom had passed away in 2008 after a long struggle with ovarian cancer, about 8 years of that. And that just crushed me, you know, even when you're expecting it.
Yeah.
When you lose your mom, your dad, you know, just your parent, you know, whoever is your parent figure, it's just crushing. And I went through a very hard time of just loneliness and despair and just grief and guilt and depression over all of that. And so, and then the economy took a huge, huge tank, and I was laid off from a job. And there I was with this house with a huge, huge payment, a car payment, insurances. I was living up to this income that I had at the time, and everything stopped. And so my mom died, got laid off from the job, needed to move real quick, but you can't move if you don't have a job. And it was just a super, super stressful time, and ended up got into this little apartment and just hated it. Just white walls, just a boxy little box, you know, of no personality.
Yeah.
And after having my own little place that I had painted and made cute, I was just so defeated and didn't do anything there for about a year. And then one day I was reading a book called Blogging for Business. And this was a long time ago, like 2010 or something, right?
Blogging for Business.
Blogging for Business.
Okay.
And it was one of the first on the scene. And it was gals who were starting a blog, making a business out of it, so on and so forth, or just kind of their stories. And one of the gals in there, and I always credit Kim for my whole new season of life, because Kimberly McColl had a blog called Dear Daisy Cottage. And she had, it's a darling yellow cottage in Florida. And all of the things that I love and had had once, she had in this cottage, you know, yellow walls and red accents and paisley and stripe and florals and little chickens and tons of pillows and all the things. All my stuff was in the garage, and I had done some things in this apartment, but not really. And oh my gosh, I laid eyes on that and I was so inspired. And I looked up her blog on my computer and I read that thing from top to bottom. Like I stayed up till 2-3 in the morning and just thought, God dang it. You know, my mom would not want me laying up in here in this white apartment, feeling sad and not living my life. You know, it's like the last thing you want as a mother is for your children's lives to stop when you stop. You know,
right?
I mean, the last thing I want my sons to do, it's like, cry for me a little while. I'm going to be
right,
mad
but live.
Don't.
But don't. I will haunt you forever.
Don't be laying around depressed forever. So I thought, God dang it, I'm going to get out of this bed and I'm going to Lowe's. And so the next day, I went to Lowe's and I bought cans of paint. I got, you know, candy apple green and yellow and a light blue and a little bit deeper blue and red. And I just spent the next like month just painting every wall in that little apartment, and it came to life. And then I got all my stuff out of the storage and I put all my stuff up on the walls and made it cute. And later I sent a little note to Kim to thank her for inspiring me to get my crap back together. And I sent her some before and after pictures. And she is so kind. She's just a lovely lady. If you guys don't know her, you should. But she...
Does she still have a website?
She does photography, and it's Imagery by Kimberly. And on Instagram, it's at Imagery by Kimberly, if you guys want to look her up.
Yeah, we can add that to the show notes.
And you'll love it. And she's going to be featured in Cottages and Bungalows coming up this summer, her cottage. So I wrote her, I thanked her, I sent her some pictures. Well, she asked me, could I post this on my blog? I just love people to know your story. And I said, okay. At this point, I was a very shy decorator because I thought my stuff was a little bit too bright, a little bit too kitschy, a little bit too much, you know, just feeling like everything I was doing, you know, it was too much. So I didn't really show too many people, and I wasn't super proud of it or anything. Well, she was. And so she shared these little snapshots I took and on her blog. And oh my gosh, Anna, it was amazing. And I printed it, and I still have it to this day. Like 300 ladies left comments about how they thought it was so cute and this should be in a magazine. And oh my goodness, I was just humbled beyond. I was in tears. I could not believe it. I was shocked that people liked what I was doing. So that gave me confidence. All of a sudden I felt more confident, like, okay. Mm-hmm. So then I started having my girlfriends in more and having more, entertaining more, because I didn't feel like my stuff was embarrassing. And all this positive feedback kind of kept rising my confidence. And so I then got an opportunity to move to a little tiny place at the beach. And I'd always wanted to live in Laguna. My friends, a lot of my friends were there, but I could never afford anything. But this particularly kind and generous family, they owned properties there for 40, 50 years. And they had a tiny little place, 450 square feet max. But it had a big outdoor deck and little patches of dirt that I could plant flowers and little windows that cranked open. And I went to look at it. And at first I thought, oh, it's way too small. I have to get rid of so much stuff. I don't know. I better not. You know, all the things you do to yourself. And then it was my youngest son who said, Mom, what are you thinking? Nobody can live that cheap at the beach. And that's a great little place. And what do you need all this stuff for? You really basically sit on your couch or you sit in your bed. You're not you know, using your dining room and all this stuff. I'm like, you know what, kid, you're right. So I got rid of a whole bunch of junk. I just gave stuff away and I did it. And that's when my life really unfolded. So that was in 2015. And I was working in sales still. And I had stopped all kind of the little making of things and my website store. I kind of stopped all that stuff and got this move done. And there I was. So I started, Instagram was new to me. I didn't know much about it, but I just thought, oh, I'll get in here. I'll get involved with some friends. And so I was just posting mostly stuff of my dog, just, you know, just stupid personal stuff. Well, I started posting a few, like, okay, here's my before of my place in Laguna bathroom. And here's the after, and here's this, and here's that. Well, about a year of messing around with that, all of a sudden I get a direct message from the editor of Flea Market Decor magazine. And she said, hey, Kelly, we love your little place. Could we come do a photo shoot? I'm just, again, shocked. Like, somebody likes my stuff. It's like, I have stuff everywhere. I have all kinds of junky junk, you know, things I found for 49 cents, but okay. So I prepare for a month. They come for the day. They shoot the whole thing. About 6 months later, they did an interview. But when you're new to all this, like, I didn't know, I didn't hear from anyone. I thought, oh, they must have thought it was ugly. They're probably not going to use it. And then after the interview, then it was still like, it was like 6 or 7 months before it was published. And there it was, though. And all my insecurity, I just thought, oh, gosh, I hope it doesn't look dumb. Oh, I hope they didn't just have to trash it. Oh, gosh, do I want anyone to see this thing? Well, lo and behold, there was my little bedroom wall. I had made a gallery wall of a whole bunch of florals that I paid for less than $12 was my max I would spend on floral. Right. So a $12 wall. And that was on the cover of the magazine. And inside was 14 pages of my little place and the gardens I'd planted and the gazebo and all these things. And I was shocked. And so it taught me a huge lesson, because I realized then that, okay, when you stay in your lane and you just do what you love and you're doing it because it's fun. And I was sharing a little bit, but it wasn't my mission in life. It wasn't my mission in life, like, to be an influencer in the decor community. I was just doing what I like. And to have people notice it and like it and, like, edify what I was doing. It was, it's so much more than just our stuff. It's our heart. You know, it's like you're creating this little situation from your heart and wanting your homes to be welcoming and cozy for folks and tell a story. And so when someone actually likes it, you're like, oh my goodness. So that gave me a lot of confidence. And then from there, other people saw that issue. And so then other stylists and other photographers started approaching me and asking, could we come shoot your place? And can I feature you here? And I was like, what? And so that went on and on for like 3 years. And so ended up, I think there was like 6 national magazines by the time it was over. And in the meantime, because I still was longing to do this creative, more creative things, when people ask you, well, what did you do? Kind of. And I felt like I wasn't doing anything. But when I look back, I realized, no, you know what? I was teaching myself WordPress. I was taking online photography classes from a local school, how to use my big camera, I call it, my Canon.
Big girl camera.
Big girl camera. I was learning iPhone photography. I was practicing that like crazy. I was just obsessed with it. I was learning all the social media platforms. you know, building a Pinterest account, building Instagram, building Facebook, starting pages for all the things. And really that came at the urging of one of the stylists who came to my home. She said, Kelly, you really should start a home decor account. You have so much to share and people would love it. And who knows, you know, someone may send you some things to talk about. And I'm like, I didn't really want to. And here's why. I had always been very goal driven, and in sales, you must be goal driven and always have a quota and a kind of that thing on your head. And this thing had evolved just from my heart and my passion. And I thought if I start putting goals and things on it, it's going to get wrecked. Going to get wrecked. And I don't want to start doing things for the gram, you know, as they say. I just wanted to do what felt right for me. And so I resisted for a long time. But then I finally realized, like, I'm kind of missing out. You know, as I would stalk other people's stuff, I'd see like, oh, these ladies are getting to know each other and they're having fun sharing and on and on. And so I thought, okay, I'm gonna. So I did. I started my Instagram account, Facebook page, Pinterest account, all under my little tag of Cottage Flea by the Sea. That was my little tag.
I love it. It's so cute. It's as cute as your style. The name is perfect.
Thank you. And it just went from there. So I was fussing around with all this stuff, just having the time of my life at this little place and entertaining friends there and just loving it and still never thinking about a career in magazines. I was still just loving it. You know, I love everything. And I got to meet all these awesome people. Yeah. And so when they came to do the flea market decor shoot, Jicky, who's now my boss, was there, another stylist, the editor of Flea Market Decor at the time, and photographer that is their local, our local go-to guy in Southern California. And they all came in, and that day really changed the course of my life. I didn't know it, of course, at the time. I was just loving it, watching him take the pictures and how does this work? And this is how you style these things. And then when other teams came to do shoots, I learned from them and made new friends there too. And so I just kind of loosely kept in touch with the team from Flea Market Decor. And Jicky, who was the editor of Cottages and Bungalows. Mm-hmm. So when they did their shoot, they did Flea Market Decor. And we also did a tablescape, summery tablescape thing that appeared in Cottages and Bungalows. And so that's one thing I could say, if you wanted any advice from me about anything like that, is when an opportunity does appear like that in your life, like what I have found is that just being gracious about it, like I was so grateful and I was so surprised, but just giving kind of credit where credit is due. It's like, I've done all this stuff and fussed around here with all these things trying to make it cute. But had not that editor taken the time to look at my profile and seen my things, reached out to me, gave me that opportunity, spent that money that I know is now spent on a photo shoot and assigning a writer to my stories and then coming back and doing a Christmas shoot. And they invested in me. And so I felt that gratitude. And so I made sure to let them know and tag them and mention them and made sure that I gave them credit for what they've done for me and just sent cards, and not in a contrived way, just how I felt, you know, but I think that helped me, you know, eventually down the road. And so kind of loosely kept in touch. And Flea Market Decor had my heart. I just loved that magazine on the cover and then being in the Christmas issue. Just loved it. And so as a outsider, as a fan, I started noticing that, gosh, they're not posting as much. I just feel like, what's happening? You know, it just seemed like there was this gap in activity. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to write to Jicky and see if they need help or something. And in the meantime, I had just decided I'd had it with sales jobs and stuff. And I had a little savings. I had started a little online shop of flea market goods. I didn't really know what I was going to do, but I decided I'm going to quit. I'm just going to quit and I'm just going to see what happens and just have faith. I can't hack it anymore. You know, I was 54 years old or whatever I was. And I just decided over it. I'm just going to take a chance. So that's what I did. And so during that gap, I was selling stuff in my little online store. A few people had asked me to take pictures in Laguna of their shops and so they could use on their social media channels. So I was doing that. And then a doctor friend of mine offered me some part-time work that I could just piecemeal together enough just to survive. And I was barely surviving, but I was having a lot more fun. So then I see this little gap in action. And so I wrote to Jicky and I said, please forgive me if I'm out of my lane, but I just, you know, how much I love FMD. And I just noticed, and if there's anything I could ever do to help, I've kind of taught myself social media and whatnot. I'm here if there's ever any opportunity. Well, I didn't hear from her. And I thought, oh, shoot, she's probably mad or something. But it's like 3-4 months go by. And I'm finally to a point of just like, oh, shoot, I probably have to get another stinking job. You know, it was getting pretty stressful. And so I was just on the verge of that when she wrote me and said, oh, Kelly, I'm so sorry. I've been so busy, but I've saved your email since 3 months ago. And unfortunately, she had hired a new editor for FMD and there was this little gap in between. And that explained that. But this new gal was going to pick up the pace. But she had a part-time position available at the magazine and it was just like 15 hours a week and just kind of behind the scenes, some spreadsheets and some just coordinating a few things and so on. And of course, I didn't care what it was. I didn't care how much it paid. Yes, I'll do it. And so I started and they let me handle the Instagram account and then just some behind the scenes things. But here's another little pointer I would tell our friends is that when you get this opportunity kind of thing too, like I was shy and I was new to the industry, but I wanted it so much. Like I kept hoping like, okay, maybe if I do a good job, they'll keep me and maybe they'll expand me. And so every chance I got, I asked, is there anything else I could do? Is there anything else I could take off your plate? Could I try that thing?
It's that idea of perseverance. It's like you have to persevere, but you do it, like you mentioned, with grace and then with gratitude. Yes. It's that sense of you still have to put yourself out there.
You do.
And then when that's fed a little bit, like be grateful and show grace along the way. And I love that example really of what you're communicating there is you still kept pursuing it.
Yeah.
Like you're not just sitting on your hands.
And I felt like at the time, like I wasn't, what was I doing with my life? You doubt yourself and whatever. Yeah. But when I look back, I realized like, no, I was constantly doing something. I was constantly listening to a podcast like yours. I was constantly reading a book about something. I was constantly practicing this or learning about that. And later now, it made perfect sense. Yeah. And it helps me now in what I'm doing, but I didn't know it at the time. I sort of felt like, oh, I'm just farting around, wasting time. Get with it and get me a boring old 9-to-5 job. But praise God, I didn't have to do that because within like a month, I think, Jakey said, okay, how about 20 hours a week? Okay, great. Yes. And I did some more stuff. And then, okay, now I have enough. I could give you 30 hours a week in the budget. Okay.
Right.
And so then she was assigning me more, a little bit heavier duty things and letting me have more responsibility. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so much fun. Now I was doing forward facing things, contacting photographers, photo shoots, finding homes for photo shoots, interacting with everybody on Instagram, you know, doing all the things and shopping guides that went in the issues. And Jakey's just a wonderful mentor and allowed me to do these things, trusted me with these things. So then my dad had been ill for a while, just different heart things. And he had had some vascular issues with aneurysms and whatnot. And so he was starting, he had had a surgery and it went kind of bad. And I was running back and forth from Laguna to Minnesota to see him and help with things. And right at that same time, Jakey said to me, Kelly, it may be a stressful time, or you may not want to do this, or maybe it would be good because it just keep your mind off things. But I'd love to see what you would do on your own as head editor with this holiday special issue.
Mm.
What? And I would always say like to my kids or to my sister, don't they know I don't know how to do anything? Or don't they know I'm not qualified? But they would just show
you
me.
Figure it out.
Would just figure it out. The team would guide me along. But her confidence in me was everything. So that's another tidbit. If you have even one person who thinks highly of you and trusts you and one person even can change your whole life.
Yeah.
And
consequently, maybe be that for somebody else.
Absolutely.
I'm hearing that idea of it is so transformative when somebody truly believes that you can do it. So it's to your point, you know, who can you do that for? Who can you invest in?
Yes. And that has been my mission. And so once I did that holiday issue, then I got to just do more and more. And 2 years later, Jakey went on maternity leave and I covered for her while she was gone and then covered for a sister publication. That editor as well had a baby. And so I was able to
remember that. It was crazy.
It was crazy. Yes. And that was huge. Like it was super stressful and busy, but that elevated my knowledge and my confidence too, because then I was thrown into budget meetings and planning calendars and all kinds of stuff that I had been shielded mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. as the assistant person. Mm-hmm. Now I was like dealing with all this stuff. And so then when Jikki returned from maternity leave, she said, "You know what, Kelly, I've been thinking about this for a long time. Cottages and Bungalows was her baby. She started as a college intern at the company.
Wow.
And worked her way up and had had this magazine forever. But mm. she had also been, she's also head editor of Atomic Ranch magazine, and she's right. director of content over a bunch of things. And so she was just maxed out." Yep. And she said, "But I needed someone that would take care of it and love it the same way I did. And I know that you will." And so they made me head editor. So that's been a year ago, February 1st. And I've been doing all the things. And yet still it's like, what? So yeah. There was a big learning curve there too. More responsibility, because with our company as editor, you're also the brand leader. So that means that we are taking care of the website and all of our social media channels yeah. and marketing projects. And there's just a ton of stuff. It's just yeah. a lot. Yeah. So it's been challenging, but of yeah. course worth it. And I've been in this thing now for 3 years. I'll be 59 years old in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And so that's the other thing I'd like ladies to know, guys, girls, whoever, that it's never over to the fat lady yes. sings.
Yeah.
It's just not. I used to cry feeling like I'm missing out on something. Something's missing from my life, you know, with my career and stuff. And I would see other people living their dreams and I would be happy for them. But I would cry a lot feeling yeah. like, what am I doing wrong? And so yeah. when this all happened for me, so, so much more than just a job, so much more than just home decor. It's like, all the pieces of my life now
yeah.
just make sense. Kind and I don't
aligning.
Have that,
yeah.
I don't have that angst anymore of just, I need to read that article about how to be content. Oh, I need to read that article about how, I mean, they're all good, but I used to just be constantly seeking.
Yeah.
And I feel like scrounging to find yeah. the thing for me.
Yeah.
And now here I am yeah. in the thing for me. And yeah. I am so blessed because I get to look at home decor all day. I get to write things. I used to do photography. I get to do all the things. But the biggest thing that has the most meaning to me is putting the spotlight on other ladies, discovering that little nugget of a person like I was that doesn't have 500,000 followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. They have maybe 800 like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And putting them out there, encouraging ladies, lifting them up, supporting yeah. them, helping them believe in themselves.
Yeah.
I get to do that every single day. And yeah. I love it. And I think coming from where I did, struggling, and then just, I remember being so broke in this first apartment in LA that I got cheap fabric at the dollar store and just tucked it around my couches and chairs yeah. because upholstery yeah. was so ugly. That kind of thing, and being embarrassed about my decor, to now where I am now, it's like,
yeah,
I would not be in this position without people like Kim from yeah. Dear Daisy Cottage, without Jikki. Without even my boys, they've always been very encouraging to me. My yeah. sister, there's just people yeah. that have girlfriends that have always just
yeah.
supported me, you know, no matter what.
Yeah. And well, it's you do a great job. You do a great difference. Job in your role of encouraging women. And I love seeing how your story, like you said, it's sort of this tapestry of all these different things and colors and experiences. And it does, it comes together to form this really beautiful story. And I think you do such an incredible job with where you're at. We're going to take a quick break, but we come back. We'll play a quick speed round of this okay. or that with Kelly, and then we're going to get her expert advice in how to get featured in a magazine right when we come back.
Okay, great.
You have tried it all. Worried you will never lose the extra weight or reclaim the energy you once enjoyed? Want to achieve fat loss without spending hours in a gym or eliminating entire food groups from your diet? Well, now you can. In the virtual Faster Way to Fat Loss with Anna, my 6-week fitness and nutrition program, you will learn how to pair effective 30-minute workouts with all natural, evidence-based nutritional strategies to leverage what you eat and when you eat to reset your metabolism and burn fat fast, even that stubborn belly fat. I am a dual certified nurse practitioner passionate about teaching sustainable strategies to promote fat loss and prevent disease. I have cheered on thousands of clients who have done just that with the Faster Way program. In my 6-week program, the average client currently sheds 7 inches of body fat. 93% report more energy and 89% state that their mental health has improved.
100% of clients report they feel this program is sustainable. Curious to try the program, but not sure if the strategies will work for you? Try the Faster Way strategies for free. Head to www.hammersandhugs.com and sign up for my free 7-day fat loss accelerator course today and start your own transformation story. Well, we are back here with Kelly McMaster. We're going to play a quick round of this or that. There's two options. You don't have to overthink it. Which would you rather? So burger or hot dog?
Burger.
Candy or baked goods?
Baked goods.
What's your favorite baked good?
I'd say probably chocolate chip cookies.
That's a good choice. Yes. Would you rather cook or decorate?
Decorate.
Do you first notice someone's smile or their hair?
Their smile.
Would you rather decorate with reds and yellows or blues and greens?
Red and yellow.
Yeah,
for sure.
Would you rather go to a movie theater or a concert?
A concert.
And lastly, would you rather go to New York or Paris?
Oh, Paris.
I've never been to Paris. That's on my, France is on my to-do list, period.
Yes. me too. Italy and Paris. Those are the places.
Yes.
We got to get.
Yes. I agree. Especially our style is perfect. Both of us.
Yes.
Italy and Paris.
Yes.
Well, let's chat magazines here quick, because it's something that I'm sure you're asked a lot. You presented it so well at the Haven Conference. I learned a lot of tips and tricks from you. Myself. And it's funny because a lot of people, I actually wrote a blog post on how to get featured in a magazine based on my own experience. And I kind of brought people along for the journey before I had even done anything or heard from everyone. I'm all about authentic stories. I'm like, look, I'm going to pitch to four. I might not be accepted in any of them and I will let you know, but here's what I'm doing. So anyway, I did end up American Farmhouse Style is what I was in, which you probably remember that. But anyway, one of the things that a lot of people ask is, what is the benefit of being in a magazine? Are you paid to be in a magazine? So one, what is the advantage to being in a magazine? And then two, what are some tips? And your tips really are true for any magazine. I mean, the advice that you gave was excellent. No matter if you are, regardless of where you are, what your niche is, your advice, I think, is excellent for all of it. So if you want to touch on that a little bit.
Well, you know what? I think the benefit, and it really does vary. You know, I have to think about that a second, because it does vary person to person. Like for someone like me that did not have a business, was not trying to grow an account at the time. I was just hanging out, doing my thing. The benefit for me was just built my self-confidence, just boosted my morale, was able to sharing about it, reconnecting me with friends from elementary school, you know, on Facebook and whatnot. So it was just the fun element of it. For sure, no matter what you're doing, it's just really a lot of fun. And it just gives you confidence to keep going with what you're doing. Someone likes what you're doing and just keep going. But if you are, say you're a designer or you do have a business, always if someone approaches you, someone like me, and says, hey, we'd love to feature you, then make sure you stick your stuff in. Make sure you ask them, can you please list my Instagram account or my website or my blog or my business website? Because we're not offended. We want to know those things and we will put them either in the body of the article or in the back at the sources in the back of the magazine will list your things. And so for sure, like if you're a designer, especially, and we get approached all the time by designers with submissions for their projects, it just builds a portfolio for them of media coverage. And you need that as a designer for credibility. So for they like to be able to publish the finished feature on their website, show the cover on their websites of all the places that they've been featured. So it can be worth really thousands of dollars and it can lead to more things. Like even for me, how lucky am I? I ended up having other people approach me. Other features were done in other magazines. And then I got a whole new career out of it. You know, I got a whole new life out of it. That's not going to happen for everybody, but you just never know. And I've featured homeowners before that their own photography was good enough for us to use it and put their name on the masthead and their name as photographer and stylist on the feature. And they've since been contacted by other people to do photo shoots in their area. So photography can go that direction. I've had a couple of homeowners say, hey, could I help write my own feature because I'm trying to build a writing portfolio? Yeah. So writing could come from it. just that exposure and just that credibility, because being published nationally gives you another leg to stand on and a little bragging thing, a little arrow in your quiver to be able to say,
authority. There's kind of that sense of like, you are more of an authority in your space. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. The expertise thing. Right. Absolutely. Especially if you're any type of professional. If you're just a gal out there like I was, just having a good time with it, then you know what? It's just so much fun. You just can never lose. I think the only thing that can go bad sometimes, but it usually doesn't, is if you don't like the pictures or something, or if you don't like the way the spread was done. But that happens in 0.0001% of the time. Right. And it's usually like with me, they took a picture of me with my dog and I thought it was going to be like from here on up. And I thought, I hate pictures of myself anyway, but I thought, I'll do it. Cause I thought it was mostly just going to be like her at the top of me. Cause I just had these ratty jeans on and these ugly flip flops and my feet were just white as a ghost, you know? And no, it was a full length thing. I just cringed. So, but whatever, I'm just happy to have it of my doggy, who I have since lost. Aww. But I have read different articles about the value of being published, and it is especially high for folks that have a business, especially in design, but even if not. And in our magazine too, besides a home tour feature, we have various other things that we like to highlight, ladies. Mm-hmm. We have the artistry column, which usually talks about someone, a maker of some sort, or a small business owner. Mm-hmm. Sewing pillows, painting birds, just pottery, all kinds of different things that we featured there. A lady that did her own stationery business. So we love submissions for that stuff. We have a column called One to Follow, which is specifically about someone on Instagram and our writer that she scouts those and writes about those ladies. We have a page called Room Recipe, where I'm always looking. It's just a one page shot of just like a great room or a great she shed or just something kind of it's on the inside back cover of the magazine, and it's there because when you pick up a magazine at the newsstand, some people flip from the back
interesting,
look at the back first, and some people look at the front first, and so that back inside thing needs to be striking as well, so we find something great there. I'm always scouting for that. So there's ways to fit in. And in every issue of Cottages and Bungalows, there's a letter, editor's letter from me. And at the bottom of that, my email address is there. And we mean it when we say, for ideas, questions, concerns, write to blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Do it. And don't be afraid to do it with other magazines too, because we are always trolling for content.
Looking for content. And, and is that true for most magazines? That's what I've seen is most magazines, whatever they are, usually the contact is within like the first page or two.
Yes.
In the letter to the editor section is often where I have to tell you a really funny story. I had zero idea what I was doing when I pitched magazines initially. And one of them, the email was from Meredith.com, I think was the handle or whatever. I thought the person's name was Meredith. And you're laughing because you know full well that that's like a syndication company, right? Like it's a company that basically owns tons of different magazines. So I addressed my pitch letter to Meredith.
They get that all the time though. I'm sure.
Oh, it made me laugh looking back. I was like, what was I doing? Oh, so funny. So the point being, just go for it. You never know, kind of like what you're saying. So you find the email on the letter to the editor section usually. And then what should or shouldn't somebody include? And it's an email that you're most likely sending.
Yes.
What should or they shouldn't include in that email?
Well, here's what we want to know. One thing you got to know for sure with editors, and this is just true of all of us, you know, and it sounds like just kind of cliche and like an excuse or something, but we are so stinking busy. We just really are. We have so many irons in the fire. So if you don't hear from us right away, don't feel like, oh, that person is rude or they hate my stuff. We're probably just working on a big honking deadline bearing down on us. Mm-hmm. And we just got to get that thing done first. And okay, now I have open headspace. I can look at these other things for future issues. But first of all, of course, be gracious and nice, but let us know where you live, what you're kind of trying to tell us with this particular situation, be it a craft, a DIY craft thing, a small business, your whole home, your Christmas stuff. Let us know like what you want to share about it. You know, why is it special to you? What makes it unique? You know, just kind of a little blurb. It doesn't have to go on and on, but just a little thing. So we just kind of get in your head a little bit. But letting us know where you are is really important because we have a bank of photographers that we use throughout the country. And sometimes, believe it or not, it's just a hard fact of this industry, is that sometimes we want to feature someone, but they are in Podunk, Alaska or something.
Yeah.
And trying to find someone who can capture it. A quality photographer is sometimes a challenge. And so not that it just immediately eliminates you, because we've gone to weird corners all over the place to do shoots, but we need to know where you are. And then just clear pictures. Photography is so important, you guys. It's kind of a shame that it is, but it just is in our business. You just have to know how to take some clear photos to represent yourself well. Because if you give us your social media handles, we're going to go look. Like if we open your email and go, gosh, that's cute, let me explore this further.
Right.
And I start scrounging around and looking, and all the photos are kind of dark, or they're too yellow, or they're, ooh, the styling's kind of weird. Sometimes I can see past that. We can see past that and go, you know what? If we went there with a pro, this would, you know, fix the problem. It'll be okay. It's styled well, and it just needs to be photographed differently. But sometimes we can't even tell. And so invest some time in your photography. You don't have to get the big $1,500 camera, but even your phone, there's tons of little online courses you can take that are $39 or something, even less, to just know what settings to use, how to edit things. Just represent yourself the best you can. And a big, big thing too, though, is study the magazine that you're trying to be featured in, or you'd like to be featured, because sometimes we'll get stuff and it's so not us. It's kind of like, I wonder if they've looked at our magazine before, because it's so not fitting. Sometimes you don't know, and that's okay. Like a lot of times someone might share something with me that I feel like, gosh, this is really nice, but it's much more farmhouse. I'll send it to Victoria, the editor at Farmhouse Style. Or Jicky at Atomic Ranch, which is mid-century modern, and vice versa. And so we share among ourselves, for sure.
You never know who's connected. What I love about that point is this could be like a bit be Forbes. I mean, this could be any magazine that you're talking about.
Yes.
And you don't know a lot of these, you know, I'm sure a lot of magazines are connected with each other in their niche. So it's like what you're saying, try to know the magazine, the kind of content. You should absolutely have some of those magazines that you've looked through. But you never know, they might share you with somebody else. So I think that's
absolutely so true, because I know the way that I was approached, it was actually at the time the Romantic Homes editor saw my little place in Laguna and told the FMD gal editor about it. So that occurred. But definitely kind of know, because, and then seasons too, you guys, are really important. Like if you send me your Christmas stuff right now, or like say you send me stuff in November for Christmas, the only way we might use that would be if we suddenly went, oh, this would be a great web story that we could quickly whip together and use the homeowner's own photos and do a web post or reshare on Instagram or something like that. But we plan a whole, you know, year ahead. And so if you're thinking, gosh, I really would love it if they'd come shoot my Christmas house, like start telling me that now. Well, it's kind of, it's already too late. Like I've already done all my Christmas shoots for cottages, for holiday decor, and for flea market decor, holiday issues. All three of those, I get to head up those three, and we're all done with our shoots. And so always be thinking at least 6 months ahead of the time. So think ahead, like if you think kind of like we think, like right now, and I did all my October issue shoots already too. But if you have a smaller thing, like you're thinking, gosh, you know what, Kelly might like my 4th of July tablescape I did, and she might be working on that June, July issue right now. Let me send her some pictures and my little synopsis on my 4th of July table. Okay, yeah. So always be kind of thinking like we're thinking, which I know is kind of hard to do, but way ahead. So that's, just know the magazine you're approaching, study what they're up to, study what they don't do. Like if you browse through someone's Instagram account and you can see the kind of content that they're sharing on their Insta, that'll tell you a lot about the brand and what they're up to. And like we just recently, our new brand ambassador is starting her tenure. And so we've talked a lot about that. We just had a Christmas tree contest and announced the winner today and had voting for that, which was super fun. But just kind of being aware of what we're doing. I know you don't have time to sit and pour through everybody's everything, but if you can kind of troll through the last several months of any magazine that you're going to approach, it will help. You'll start seeing whether your stuff would fit in or not.
One of the
and then don't be totally discouraged.
One of the things that I did is I actually hired an editorial photographer because I know my photography skills are not up to par. But what was interesting is I did not even know I didn't know there was a difference, that not all photographers are editorial photographers, that there is kind of a different approach. So that's something too. You can Google that in your area to have somebody come shoot your home for you with the intent of submitting it. But then the advantage is you have all these great images then for your brand if they're not accepted into a magazine. So that was beneficial for me. I did all my own staging, but then I hired an editorial photographer and then I had the images. So that's another option too, if photography is super overwhelming.
Yeah. If it's overwhelming to you and you just don't know. And you know what? In the beginning too, you don't have to send us perfectly polished portfolio, but even if you had 3 or 4 really clear, bright, nice shots of what you're talking to us about, that's enough, you know, to pique our interest. And then from there, you know, we'll figure it out, because that's kind of all it takes. Like sometimes somebody will send me just one picture. And it's
really there's no sharp context. Yeah. Oh, it's, I see what you're saying.
No, it's actually good. Oh, it's okay. I can see they have a good angle here. The lighting's great. The styling's great. Okay. I'm going to pursue this more. I'm going to figure this out. Same with when we're trolling as editors through social media blogs, we're always looking for content and you can just kind of tell who's taken some time to perfect their photography a little bit. You know, it can be discouraging. It's like, gosh, I have to be everything. I got to know how to do all these things. It just stinks. But I didn't when I started. I got lucky and stuff too. But my photos were okay because I had been learning. Yeah. I had been doing some things. And so it was time well invested for me. And even if you say you spend $29 on an iPhone photo class online, you're never going to regret that because you're going to have better pictures of your kids, your dog, your husband, your whoever, your friends, your home. It's well worth it with as much as we use our phones.
The other piece of advice you had given, which I thought was really good too, is you said, don't be afraid to follow up, because you had mentioned that before, that I think that's true for all of us. We're just busy. Like very few of us are truly just don't care and don't want to respond. It's just, you need the reminder. And I think that was really good advice too, is if you are pitching, again, any magazine, like give a little brief period of time, but don't be afraid to follow up and follow up graciously, recognizing they're probably just busy.
Yes,
I appreciated that.
And it is. It's all about these deadlines because we have so many. We just live on this clock and calendar. And so oftentimes, like, yes, absolutely do that, because usually if we know that it's just not going to fit, it's just not quite our style, our genre, our people won't go for it, whatever, I'll tell you right away. Like I'll write you back and I'll tell you right away. If it's something that I feel like, gosh, I could use this. I just don't have time right now to really study it or delve into it, but I will when I'm done with this thing, I'll write back and say, I'm swamped getting this thing done, but bug me again, but I'm going to flag this and let's talk about this for summer issue or whatever. But that's usually what it is. It's not people just trying to blow you off or whatever. I mean, I can only speak for us, myself and our team of ladies.
Yeah.
We tend to be very caring and want people never to have hurt feelings. So we tend to get back to
you guys.
You guys do a great job.
Yeah.
But there's just times like I flag things and it's been like, oh my gosh, what I do with that thing? And I'm looking, and then sure enough, the person will write me again and say, hey, Kelly, sorry, I don't mean to bother you, but have you got a chance? Like, thank God. Yes. Okay. Now I can look at this thing.
Yeah.
So it's really that. So don't be shy about that. But you're right. The graciousness, I tell you, it goes a long way. If somebody writes to me and says, hey, I wrote to you 6 months ago, you never got back to me. It's like, okay, lady.
Try again.
No, I'm not gonna.
Exactly.
We understand. We get it. But it is just so much better to be, like you said, gracious and just understanding in the process, because it just, you know, what's that book? I don't know, but you never win friends when you come across that way, kind of demanding or overly particular. That is another kind of faux pas, is being overly particular about, like, say you are selected to have your home featured. There's a process to the whole thing, and people that have been doing layouts and writing text for years and years and years, you know, way beyond me, that once I do my little part and I pass it on to the next people in line, they have their expertise. And so there's protocols that we have to follow and just parameters and all the different rules and whatnots and stuff. And so sometimes, very rarely though, a homeowner will be very invested in the process and kind of trying to control that process and what picture goes where and just different things. And unfortunately, it's just not very well received.
Sure.
Because we are so busy and we just got so much going on that we just can't, you know, we just got to do the best we can. And being on the other side of that as the homeowner being featured, I think it's a heck of a lot more fun. Like nobody showed me nothing.
Yeah.
I just opened my door. Yeah. Come on in. I just set a bunch of dumb stuff for my interview. And
right.
There it was. And I prefer it that way. It was
Amen.
Way more
a
fun.
Lot less. I did my part. It's decorated. You do
exactly.
your thing. You
totally.
Do whatever you want to do. I
yeah.
agree.
Like yeah. I like my white feet sticking out, but so what? You know, yeah. there's a lot.
Minus the white feet. You can do whatever you want to do. Just keep my white feet out of it. It's all about my house,
a lot,
not my feet.
There's a lot worse things that could happen to you in life than having your yeah. white feet exposed. So yeah,
yes.
it's not that big yeah. a deal. And I think one thing too is try not to take ourselves so seriously. Like that's another sort of theme that kind of rears its ugly head. It's like, let's not get too big for our britches. It's kind of, mm-hmm. you know, the theme. It's like, we're all just ladies over here, just creating things in yeah. our spaces. And it's important to us. And of course, I believe in it. I'm all for it. But there are so many other more serious things going on in life and in the world that to get upset about white feet in flip-flops yeah. would be silly. It's just like, how dumb is that? Yeah. People yeah. are suffering and dying yeah. and there are babies with illnesses and all kinds of yeah. things. And so when I was an adoption counselor, there was a lot of sadness and tragedy mixed in with that, the joy of things. And several times I had to take babies from couples and return them to the birth mother. Yeah. They had changed their mind within that window legally that they could. And babies born drug addicted, babies born with disabilities and stuff. And so whenever I'd get worked up about something in this role, I just rewind to those days and how serious yeah. that was and how difficult that was and how yeah. really life important those things were. And I just have to go snap out of it. That blurry yeah. picture is not the end of the world.
Yeah. Well, and this is why I love cottages and bungalows, because it's magazines like this that it is an opportunity to like sit back with a cup of coffee and a blanket mm-hmm. and enjoy beauty and enjoy stories. And it's a chance to take a deep breath and be yeah. able to take a step into somebody else's home. And that's why I love magazines like the one that you put together. It's just so beautiful. I do want people to be able to know. So the Instagram handle, certainly, of the magazine is Cottages and Bungalows
yep.
or cottagesandbungalowsmag.com. And then Kelly's handle is Cottage Flea by the Sea. Cottage Flea by the Sea. If you love the flea market style, the vintage, kind of eclectic, super, super like warm colors, it'll make you very happy. You definitely want to follow Kelly. I love your style. It's so pretty. And when I'm hearing your story, I thought about, there's this old saying that says, luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Yes.
And I think it's been widely accepted that maybe we should really say that it's more applicable that success is when preparation meets opportunity. And it doesn't really happen by chance, because I hear your story and you were still putting in the effort day after day. You had no idea what was going to happen, but whether you knew it or not, you were still laying that foundation so that when that opportunity did present itself, mm-hmm. you were ready. And I just thank you for sharing this. I think you've modeled it so beautifully in your life. You know, you could have sat down, just wallowed in grief or frustration or depression, but you used it as an opportunity to pivot. And I just thank you for your story and being here and sharing it with us and for all the beauty that you inspire and create in your job.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm really, yes. really just honored and flattered and just humbled oh. that you would find my journey interesting. And just, yeah, I just want ladies, don't give up. Just whatever you're doing in life, just don't give up. Just keep going and keep that little voice that's driving you to do whatever you feel driven to do. Just keep doing it. You'll never regret it. I just don't think
you'll
ever
regret it. And smile along the way. There's always going to be white feet flip-flop moments. Just keep going.
Right.
Well, thank you, Kelly.
You're so welcome. Take care.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Imperfectly Empowered Podcast. It is my honor to be here with you. I am so grateful for each and every one of you. If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to click the subscribe button below so you don't miss a show, and leave a comment with your thoughts from today's episode below. If you are listening via your preferred podcasting platform, would you help keep us on the air by rating our show and leaving an honest review of your thoughts from today? In case you haven't heard it lately, your story matters and you are loved. This is your host, Anna Fulmer, and I will see you here next time on the Imperfectly Empowered podcast.